The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Yes, hello. It's me back again for another week with a lot of kind of fun news and some trailers and a very special guest this week. Daniel Benedict is returning to the show. It's been a very long time since we spoke with him. He is a filmmaker, independent filmmaker. That only just sums up a little bit of what he has done. It has a fantastic YouTube channel. Created a fan film about 8 years ago of Masters of the Universe that was really pretty cool. And, he's got something, a new project that you're going to want to hear about. He'll be coming up later on the show to tell us all about it. But other than that, we have a lot of interesting things. And some of this you may have already heard about because D23 happened actually like a week ago. And I know we're not a Disney show anymore. We don't really cover it, but there was enough significant things that I thought I should talk about some of it. Also a lot of new trailers that came out. There was an event where they kind of went through and talked a little bit about the Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 3, and I want to share a little bit of the information that we've gotten from that. That's basically what this show is going to be. I want to share some things with you and then have a fun conversation with Daniel Benedict. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to have some fun. Come along with me and let's just have some fun together. Now, while the music is still playing, of course, we'll do the what have you been watching and what have you been playing type of thing usually. I'm solo today, so I'll just tell you, I really don't think I've been watching anything significantly. I mean, I had been paying attention to the Olympics, but that's all over. So really hasn't, I haven't been watching TV, but I have been playing. And as I guess we're getting into those fall months, I start getting the desire to play, something middle spooky. I'm still making decisions for if I want to do a scare play this year, like I've done, the last 2-3 years we've done a scare play. But I'm like, well, what sort of scary games have I not played yet that I can basically stream for the Neverland official gaming channel? Which, by the way, go ahead and subscribe if you haven't already. I need to keep working on some content for that and everything. I was still in the middle of a project on that. But I started messing around playing the old, although this is not the old, but Castlevania Symphony of the Night, where it was remastered with Rondo of Blood in Castlevania Requiem, I believe they call it. Remastered for the PlayStation 4. They redid some of the sound, which I wish they hadn't. I wish they'd kept the original sound personally. They did some fun stuff and have some sound come out the controller and everything. But I've got that out, and mainly because we were hearing some of the music, I was fixing up my Halloween playlist. And I even, the old PS3, I managed to set into the living room because my wife was kind of curious and wanted to play because she used to like to play the Castlevania Symphony of the Night game as well and a few other ones. So I put my PlayStation 3 down into the living room where she has easier access to it. And so she started going to play there and I was like, well, I'm going to play it on the my PS4 there. Which I can remote in from my PS5 and still play it. And so I've been playing with that. And, the funny part is it's been such a long time since I've played through it. That I'm like, oh, hey, I can get achievements now on this. Because last time I played through it, it was on the PS3, and I've had this PS4 version for quite some time. I just haven't sat down and went through it. But there was an achievement for getting the bad ending. So I've went and I've gotten the bad ending. But now I need to go through those of you familiar with the game. And there are two rings you need to get. You need to wear them in a certain location to open up something that will allow you to get past what basically would be the halfway point in the game, really. I don't want to spoil anything for anybody who maybe have not played it. But I looked at my inventory and I realized I only have one of these two rings, and yet I've covered about every area of the castle, all the hidden ones and everything that I can think of. And I, for the life of me, cannot figure out what I didn't do. So I'm going to have to go and probably find a guide and like, okay, this other ring is somewhere in this castle. I know it exists. Somehow or another, I didn't manage to pick it up. And I don't know how. I look at the map that I've got of everywhere I've gone. I cannot figure out where I didn't go. So, yeah, you know, it's almost like playing it again for the first time. So, yeah, that's what I've been doing. I've been playing Castlevania, and then, of course, still going back and playing, of course, Final Fantasy 16, working my way through that. Actually been dabbled into 7 a bit. There's a YouTube channel. I've kind of dabbled a little bit into this guy's channel. It's Blitz, I believe he just calls it, and he's like a capital Z. But he had developed his own guide, and I, I'm willing to listen to anybody's opinion of what the best build for your characters are to get through hard mode. Although, I have admitted defeat with the Final Fantasy VII hard mode. I only got through like half of it that I could defeat on hard mode. But I'm willing to like try different approaches for the build. And so I started to dabble in that, although he doesn't have a build quite for every character, and I don't quite understand. There's a technique where you kind of can cheese things with Yuffie, and I haven't quite figured that out yet, but I've been working on that build. But I've kind of been dabbling, like coming back to that, but I do want to finish 16. I don't want to get distracted away from it, because 16 is I feel like I'm hitting the dark chapter of the story in Final Fantasy 16, and I do want to finish that, and then I want to get back on to 14, because I was having fun playing that one online before I got sidetracked. So, but that's what I've been playing this week. But you know what? Let's just keep the show rolling, and let's talk about a little bit of news that's happened this week.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
So let's talk about this Final Fantasy VII Rebirth Summoning a Masterpiece event that happened with Yoshinori Kitase. Let's see who all was there. Hamaguchi, of course, being there. Naoki Hamaguchi, saying that Part 3 will be one of the best games ever made. And right now, Rebirth is definitely a contender for Game of the Year. And, they mentioned a little bit, and there was some speculation going on earlier the week that, with the Unreal Engine 5 being available to them, that they may try to make the third one workable with Unreal Engine 5. But that would be, in a lot of ways, apparently you'd have to kind of strip down what they have built to run on engine on the Unreal Engine 4 currently. Yeah, you'd have to retweak everything to get down to the Unreal Engine 5. So there has been, I guess, some consideration, but I don't know if a decision has necessarily been made on that. But there was apparently some talk about it. There's also been quite a bit of talk. Even previously, they were wondering the Highwind, which is this big airship that in the original 1997 game, you could use it to fly all over the map. And when you wanted to get off of it, you just had to click a thing and it would just kind of land there on the map and you'd hop out and your little map version of Cloud would come out. But how the remakes have been more, definitely more third person, I guess, but we're up and close, even in an open world, we're running around with them. And if you're on a ship like the Highwind, the question would be, well, the way we've made the land set up, how would we land the Highwind? Because it is a very large ship in the environments that we have designed where it's mountainous and hilly. And, so there was talk about how they were going to get that to working. They weren't sure. Apparently, they have figured out a method of what they're going to do with the Highwind. And now a lot of speculation has been in there of like what all kinds of fun things you could be doing on the Highwind as you're flying around. Could you maybe place Queen's Blood with some of the crew? A lot of different speculation of what could be going on now that you get to fly the Highwind. They have gotten that figured out. They've also decided to be more, continue the confusion on the end of Rebirth, which, all right, so the end of Remake, they kind of, and they teased their way into Rebirth by saying, well, we'll figure out Aerith's fate in the next game. And they basically said the same thing again. Well, you'll figure out Aerith's fate in the next game in part three. But at the same time, also talking about some of their goals with how, what happens with Aerith at the end of Rebirth and the way Cloud reacts to it. They did want to try to show it from the perspective of being a bit in denial. And I don't want to dive too deep in there for anyone who hasn't played. But so they did want to go from that perspective, but that doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot to what actually is going on. They're leaving it open. It's like, well, we'll get into it more with the third game, and we'll know for sure when we get around to that third game. So, and of course I'm interested in that. You know, I'm a big Aerith fan. I currently have 7 Aerith figures here on my desk. So I'm hoping everything is going to be very cool for that character of what we'll see happen in the third game, which I'm definitely looking forward to. Okay, so while we're talking about games, I'd say next thing on the agenda, we've gotten a lot of people who are very, let's say, concerned about the remake of Silent Hill 2. Now, personally, if you're going to remake a Silent Hill game, I'd like a remake maybe of the first one. I never have played the third one. I need to probably come around and play that one. It is available on my PlayStation account where I could play free ones. But I really enjoyed the first Silent Hill. It was a long time before I got a chance to play the second one, but it had been hyped up beyond belief before I ever played it. And I don't think it met the expectations of what everybody said it was. It was a pretty good game, but I'm not as hyped up for Silent Hill 2 as a lot of other people are. People say, oh, it's the greatest game ever. My starting concern with the game initially is, I mean, it really doesn't seem to have anything to do with the first game other than being in the same town, which, I mean, in some game series you can do, like, well, Final Fantasy, for example, it's a completely different world every time. But the first game gave a reason for why the town is like it is. And the second game doesn't seem to acknowledge any reasons that, you know, why the town is doing what it's doing to your character. It doesn't seem to make any sense. If it was a completely separate area, world, or whatever, and not in the town of Silent Hill, I think it would probably work better. But I was sitting there, it's like, how is this related to the story and why things are the way they are in the first game? How is this fit? It just didn't make sense. I mean, all Resident Evil games, sometimes you get a slight difference in the bio, you know, what biohazard is being marketed and causing the problems, but it all seems to be tied together. It all makes sense. But yeah, the Silent Hill series has not made sense. So how does this fit with the other stuff? I don't understand, because it keeps going back into the town. I'm like, well, okay, well, we know what's wrong with the town after the first game. They expanded on in the third one, which I still need to play. But like the second one, it's like, okay, well, it's in the town, but I don't see how this relates. It never made sense to me. So I didn't enjoy it near as much as like in the first game, where you seemed like you were flipping back and forth between a nightmarish world. And then, of course, the town, how the town is weird anyway and foggy, and you'd flip over to this nightmarish world. And but you get an explanation of how that works. It's, you know, complicated. I'm not going to get into it. So there's, you know, I'd rather have the first one back, but there's been concerns about the second one, mainly looking at some of the character designs and the involvement of a company called Sweet Baby Inc., who is connected in with the Bloober team, the Bloober team is the one who's doing the remake. And we've seen Sweet Baby go and wreck other games with the forcing DEI kind of things in there that don't make any sense. Like Spider-Man 2 had some stuff like, why is this in here? You know, why am I suddenly stopped from being Spider-Man to play as a deaf girl and vandalizing things? Why am I doing this? You know, stuff like that, that kind of ruins games, and it has hurt sales on a lot of games, Suicide Squad being an example they were involved with. And so people are concerned about their involvement in the remake of Silent Hill 2. Now, apparently these fears are supposed to be being assuaged. A demo has been released. I don't know if it's available for the common people or if it's just for game journalists. But don't trust game journalists anyway, because they're right now trying to destroy a I can't think of the name of a game that's supposed to be coming out that people are really excited about. And I think it's even already pre-sold really well. I think it's already out on the market, but it's about playing as the Monkey King. But because, you know, some of the traditions of the Far East don't measure up to what the Westerners are thinking we're supposed to be, they're trying to get, you know, Sweet Baby Inc. It's apparently even paying off some journalists to badmouth this game, you know, to try to get people to not buy it, but it's not working. So, I mean, there's some nasty stuff with gaming journalists. Thank God I'm not one. I'm just your friendly podcaster, and I like to play games just like you. But there is a push that started overnight. I was awake in the middle of the night, and a new teaser trailer or a new trailer for the Silent Hill 2 game remake has released. And a lot of people say, oh, well, this looks a lot better. And well, it does look better, but that doesn't mean the game's better. But also the demo, people are trying, you know, I'm seeing a lot of gaming journalists, like I said, I don't trust them, saying, oh, well, it's not as bad as we thought. Look at this. This is pretty good. I got to play this demo. Well, unless the demo is released to wide audiences, we all get a chance to where we all make our decisions. I don't know if that's going to necessarily help sales, but let's take a listen to the new trailer for the remake of Silent Hill 2.
James? Honey? Did something happen to you after we got separated in that long hallway? Are you confusing me with someone else? You were always so forgetful. Remember that time in the hotel?
Are you taping again? Come on. I don't know why, but I just love it here. It's so peaceful.
In my restless dreams, I see that town. You promised you'd take me there again someday. But you never did. Well, I'm alone there now, in our special place.
Just put the gun to their head.
You can't just kill someone because the way they looked at you.
You should see your face, team.
Let go!
I'm sorry, Laura, but I can't let you just run around this place. You might get hurt.
Hurt by what?
This place is different from what I remember. I don't think she's here anymore.
This whole town. Might be best if you just get out of here.
Yeah, you're right.
You said you took everything. But you forgot that videotape we made.
How do you know about that? Aren't you Maria?
I'm not your Mary.
So you are Maria.
I am. If you want me to be.
How do you know about Mary?
You see it too? For me, it's always like this.
It doesn't matter who I am. I am here for you, James. See? I'm real.
So there we go. They're basically trying to show some of the story elements to show how the story might have remained the same. However, some character designs are still lacking. I've seen already one commentator point out that the character of Maria, which Well, to get in some of the themes of the game, you've got a guy who is basically, he's kind of sexually frustrated with his wife having a disease that she died of, that he's come, now he's gotten a letter from his apparently dead wife to tell him to come back to this town. And so this character represents his feelings towards his wife and a sexual frustration. And so she's supposed to be kind of over sexual looking in the original game. And they've taken that away from the character where she doesn't have that same appearance. So there's people concerned like, well, you've kind of almost missed the point of the game there. And really, because a lot of even the things you kill are supposed to be manifestations of his frustration and his own guilt for other different things. And I'm not going to spoil the entire story for you, but you might be familiar with it anyway. So but it doesn't feel like that they've really captured those themes in the eyes of a lot of people. So there's a lot of concerns about the game. And, you know, like I said, I'll look to see if the demo is available on PlayStation 5 and I'll, you know, try it out just to see. The gaming journalists are saying that they've got a demo. They've got to play like 3 hours. Oh, it's not that bad. And there is some video online on YouTube that has popped up of them being able to play it. But I think they need to make it available for the common people if they haven't, and let us decide if it's worth buying. Of course, I wasn't really that worried about buying it anyway. Like I said, I'd rather have the first game redone. I loved the first game. It's weird. And there's things you can miss if you don't catch everything to get all the different endings. Overall, it should be like a good series of games. But yeah, with the second one, I just don't understand how it fit in. And I haven't really played much of the other ones. I'm more of a Resident Evil fan, but I did enjoy the first one. So that's the game that I would want to play. But anyways, a lot of the other news that I have is what's coming from the D23, which happened the last weekend or the weekend before, I guess, because now I'm behind on recording. I started recording over the weekend. I felt a little ill during the first part, and now I'm back. It's Monday, and I'm recording some more. But they announced a lot of changes coming and expanses to the parks and resorts at D23. There was also a lot of legends that were inducted. I'll get into some of that. But what frequently is said, whenever there's changes made, it good or bad, that they like to quote Walt saying, Disneyland will never be completed. It will continue to grow as long as there is imagination left in the world. And so whenever something changed, even when people are like, well, wait, let's not change. Let's not get rid of this. That people will always, you know, I've told people Disney fandom is a cult. It really is. There's people who will never accept a criticism of Disney or give it. And I've seen this. I've experienced this. There are people who are just, no matter what they are fed, they'll slurp it up. It could be complete utter garbage. They'll slurp it up because it's got the Disney name on it. I've seen this. I've experienced this. And I guess I'm thankful that I've only got one trip to the park to where I didn't get fully indoctrinated in. But I mean, for a long time, this was a Disney podcast, but I did still feel free. If there was something that I didn't like, I felt I was able to say so. But I think a lot of people just are incapable of saying anything when it's like, wait a minute. But there are the few that are like, wait a minute, let's not do this. Like, because those like me who said that, why would you get rid of Splash Mountain? Sure, okay, a Tiana ride sounds like a good idea, but maybe what Tiana needs is a restaurant, because that was Tiana from The Princess and the Frog was all about a restaurant. And how cool would it be to have a Cajun-themed restaurant? I've spoken on this many times with other people, and other people thought, yeah, that'd have been cool. But what would they do? They destroy Splash Mountain. And why? Because some people thought that the movie might have been racist, even though it's not. And the riot itself clearly was not. But some people might be offended. So, oh, let's tear it down. And we'll put in, I know, we got a black Disney princess now. Let's put her in there. Even though apparently the ride, they didn't put enough. It's like half cooked. But I've still seen the cultists are like, oh, this is wonderful. But everybody, you know, like the first people who wrote it, it's like, this doesn't seem to flow as well and doesn't seem to have story to it. This is not up to standards what we expect for a Disney ride. But yeah, so I mean, there are new changes coming. Some of it is a, you know, okay, let me just take some sections. I'm looking directly at the WaltDisneyCompany.com website, and they have Villains Cars and the largest expansion at the Magic Kingdom ever. Let me just read this for you. The world's most visited theme park will be getting its largest land expansion ever with Disney's iconic Villains and its hit franchise Cars moving into the Magic Kingdom. The expansive Magic Kingdom, the Keystone Park of Walt Disney World Resort in Orlando, will bring new and beloved stories to life as Disney Imagineers craft a land based on the wickedly wonderful Disney villains you just love to loathe. While more details are coming, this new land is underway with two new attractions planned, as well as dining, shopping, and more. Now, that sounds like a good idea. And they show like the Cars ride, Cars Land coming over from Anaheim. A lot of things that sound like a good idea. Yeah, I would say that would be a good idea. But what they don't say in this article that's slowly been coming out, and I at first I thought this was maybe rumors, but it feels like this has been confirmed. They're going to wipe out Tom Sawyer Island, and I think they're somewhat keeping Frontierland, but this is being put into Frontierland or something. But Frontierland, as you know it, is not going to be there for the most part. Now, some people, of course, try to justify that. So, well, when's the last time you went to Tom Sawyer Island? I saw that on Facebook, and I saw people commenting. So, well, we like to go to Tom Sawyer Island. It's a great place to just relax and get away from the crowds of the rest of the park. It's just a nice little area. And it was important to Walt at Tom Sawyer Island. You know, that was kind of one of his favorite things. He's a Missourian. So that's once, you know, I feel like they're just banishing Walt out of the park, although they're acting like they're not. Some of the things he was big fun. I mean, and in Florida, you have a lot of land that they haven't used that I'm sure they could have expanded on to the Magic Kingdom. I mean, when they talk about expansion, that's what I was expecting. Like, okay, well, you got more land, make the park bigger. Sure. And that's what I would have thought, but it doesn't sound like that's what they're doing. So then we see Esperanza Encantado and Adventures of Indiana Jones. This is coming to Disney's Animal Kingdom. So Animal Kingdom, which was mainly about, you know, animals and things like that, has been changing. They've had a Dino Land, but, you know, the dinosaurs were animals. I mean, so it made sense. But I think that's going because we had the dinosaur ride, which you probably might know, or if you don't, I'm about to tell you, it's the same ride mechanism as the Indiana Jones Adventure. So when I hear that Adventures of Indiana Jones is coming into Animal Kingdom, I figure, well, what's going to happen is they're going to just retool Dinosaur and turn it into the Indiana Jones ride, which is cool. I mean, it's the Indiana Jones ride. It's just, why is that in Animal Kingdom? And why is Encanto in Animal Kingdom? Now, the Esperanza, they're just trying to bring a South American-style jungle, apparently, into the world. And okay, well, that would make sense. Makes more sense than Avatar being in the Animal Kingdom. But an Encanto area, because, and there's going to be a ride, an attraction inside an Animal Kingdom. I don't know what they're thinking. Monsters, Inc. at Disney's Hollywood Studios. So apparently because I'm not really that part of the Wii anymore. But the Laugh Factory now, and we're going to get a ride. And I can't remember what you call this, where you hang from the track, where it's going to be going through the doors. And there we've heard about something like this for a long time. So, I mean, this sounds like a cool idea. And I don't think they can mess this up. I'm kind of wondering if the typical laugh floor where it was the comedy show is going away to make room for this, or if they're just using some extra land. I have not heard. But riding around on the doors with a story going on, that's actually going to be pretty cool. Some new stuff coming with Avengers and Avatar. I said DeArmo announced the two thrilling e-ticket Marvel-themed attractions are coming to Disney California Adventure. Avengers Campus will expand, doubling its current size to house new attractions. So see, expanding, making more room. And Disneyland's got less room to work with unless they buy more land, I think. And they're going to bring some Avatar over to California Adventure as well. Probably similar to what's already exists in the Animal Kingdom. Now, I have seen some people already criticizing some of the things they were doing in the Marvel area. And I've seen some video of this that, you know, they want to have, okay, well, Deadpool is popular. Let's put Deadpool in there, which normally would be fine. But he is making, well, Deadpool style crass jokes that are scripted and are inappropriate for the audiences we're trying to aim for in a Disney park where it's supposed to be for everybody. They're trying to lean more towards the older audience like Universal would do. And but that's what Universal does. They're kind of the, you know, Universal's even tried to build a marketing thing against Disney, that Disney's where you can take your kids, and Universal, well, no, we're for all you grownups over here. But you know, Disney's supposed to be for everyone. It's adults and kids together. And some of the stuff that Deadpool's saying, I think, might be going over the kid's head, but maybe those jokes shouldn't be being made anyway. Right. So that's been a concern anyway. Let's see. What else have I got? Yeah, I've got the list of some of the legends and everything, which you've got Steve Ditko, who got named a legend, and John Williams got named a legend. I've also seen James Cameron now has become a Disney legend, even though has he actually done a movie for Disney? But no, he did the Avatar films, and he is, you know, a prolific director. And it's only recently that he's had anything tied to Disney, but he gets to be a Disney legend. That doesn't even make as much sense as Miley Cyrus, who I did a lot of stuff. She built her career at Disney. I kind of get that. Maybe who she's become is not quite what she doesn't represent the Disney brand at all anymore. But I guess I can acknowledge, OK, well, she's got a past with Disney. So it was kind of weird. But yeah, those were people who were named as Disney legends. And I can't seem to figure out which one of these articles. Oh, yeah, here it was. But I'm going to jump out of that and dive into some other things. There's something I forgot to bring up. We're talking about other games that we've gotten to hear a little bit about. The Witcher 4 for the game series, that Geralt, the voice actor for Geralt, is confirming that Geralt is not the main character. I kind of expected that because they seem to be passing it on to Ciri in the game. And they have already broken past, I guess, any of the books at this point. So they're kind of inventing their own story. And, you know, Geralt will be involved, but apparently you're going to have a more Ciri-focused story, which, you know, I felt like a bit of a handoff there if you get the good ending on The Witcher 3. So, I mean, that felt natural, but that did happen. I should have probably brought this up earlier. But anyways, let me look at some of the other things happening in parks. I got something here from Universal that came from that park place that they were tested flying some dragons around for their Epic Universe. Universal's got this big Epic Universe kind of thing that I guess it's another park build on. And they've announced stuff like a new Harry Potter edition going on in there, How to Train Your Dragon, and that's what these flying dragons appear to be, something to do with How to Train Your Dragon. The Harry Potter section is going to bring some elements from the Fantastic Beasts films and also have a little fun ride inside the Ministry of Magic, where apparently you're going to try to attend the trial of Professor Umbridge, or Dolores Umbridge, I should say. She was not a professor anymore at the time. But you're supposed to be attending her trial, and something's going to go wrong, and they've got a ride. But around August 1st, I guess, is when it happened. They saw these weird dragon-looking things flying around Universal. It appears to be some tests for the Epic Park Place. I am gaining an interest to go visit Universal. I wanted to see the Harry Potter world. I haven't gotten to do all these things. But we did get, during D23, a trailer for Tron Ares. I don't know that they showed him a lot. There was a lot of different trailers. Jeff Bridges apparently took the stage and said it's a beautiful time to bring the venerable franchise back. Of course, he's going to say that. He's going to promote his own movies. We made the original in 1982. It's hard to believe. It's amazing. We never thought it would have this legacy that's continued on, and here we are. What a beautiful time to bring it back, with technology and AI being omnipresent in our lives. The perfect time to revisit this amazing world, to have this amazing world visit us. That's what happens in our movie. So, yeah, the Tron 3 is coming back. We are not quite getting the sequel to this legacy that we thought. Music is being provided by Nine Inch Nails, which that'll fit the flow of kind of how the music has been in Tron films. Each one's been very different, but yet also very similar within these films. So that is coming, and that's something that I want to be excited about, but I don't trust Disney anymore. I don't know. I would like to see it, but I want to see something before it, you know, I commit to anything, right? Daredevil Born Again got a trailer reveal at D23 as well. And really, these trailers are not online that I have seen anywhere. Jon Bernthal is returning as the Punisher in this. Now, I did not see the third season of Daredevil because I didn't get through Iron Fist. And then what was the series that was supposed to combine them all together? The Defenders? No, not the Defenders. Was it the Defenders? I don't know. But I didn't, you know, I kind of fell off watching the Marvel series on Netflix. And I believe they are available on Disney Plus. But this is going to be a new series, including, you know, 18 episodes. Vincent D'Onofrio is reprising his role as the Kingpin. But, you know, things have changed for these characters. That a lot of people think in the last time Kingpin made an appearance in Echo, I think, and I didn't watch it. He's not as intimidating as he was. It seems like they downplayed him to I don't know. It's just with the clips I've seen, he's just like, so this doesn't feel like the same Kingpin. That seemed like a threat. But we had to grow power and have him get whooped, I guess, or something. I don't know. I'm not sure. But yeah, it's happening. I don't know that I'm going to be watching it, but it's happening. I do have a lot of trailers to get to that came from D23 and some stuff outside of D23. Before we get into that, I will remind you, hey, stay tuned. Daniel Benedict is coming to talk about a new project. You're going to be excited and you're going to want to help support. And there's ways for you to do that. But I want to talk to you about Dubby. Visit NeverlandPodcast.com, find the big Dubby logo and click on it. Dubby has energy drinks, energy drink powder. You mix it in your own water and it will not give you the jitters, gamers. not give you the jitters. It's all perfectly healthy and natural. Dubby. And if you happen to go to dubby.gg, find a way to put in the discount code Neverland and get your discount for going to Dubby. Once again, though, you can find links at neverlandpodcast.com. I need to get a new website that says the Fandom Nexus. Yes, I know. Okay, enough about that. Let us move on to the trailer park.
Mama, now the gator got in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Get him all. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
Not a lot of nostalgia in the show yet, but believe me, it's coming when we have Daniel Benedict come on later, so make sure you tune in. A lot of the talk, though, this past week has been about the remake of Snow White, because there was a teaser trailer. This is still scheduled to come out in March of 2025, and this teaser didn't do us any favors. It is currently 896,000 dislikes compared to 73,000 likes on YouTube on the official Walt Disney Studios YouTube channel, I guess I'll say it. The official release of where it was put out. So, I mean, granted, we started with the entire concept of Snow White. You know what the fairest of them all means, right? See, back at the time, being fair was to be very pale. And the goal was to be very pale. That was a thing. And that's literally, I mean, if you read the Grimm's fairy tale, she was known for having very pale skin, but ruby rose red lips. And some versions of the old story was called Rose Red instead of Snow White. And Snow White was a description of her skin. It was a nickname that the princess had, was Snow White or Rose Red, depending upon which version of the old tale you would read. So people were already like, oh, wait a minute, Rachel Zegler is kind of Hispanic. That doesn't fit. But Rachel Zegler saw fit to say a lot of different things, a lot of dumb things that people did not like, and just like, you know, oh, I know. And everybody's probably seen that weird snarl face where she's like, oh, come on, it's got to be about this prince, you know, all this stuff, basically saying, yeah, this is not the Snow White story that we all know and love at all, basically from what she was saying. And during the course of this week, everybody was saying, you know, I'd actually go see this. Gal Gadot is actually much prettier than Rachel Zegler, a lot of people were saying. And I guess even Rachel Zegler kind of said something on Twitter about that, that also people were saying was a problem. Like I said, I don't like this show to become a rage bait thing. But believe me, there's a lot of stuff if you go looking for it about this. But nobody seems to like Rachel Zegler. And I think we talked about this last show where she's voicing a character. I'm like, you know, I don't like her anymore. I saw the remake of West Side Story. It's the only thing I've seen her own, and I thought she did good. And I enjoyed the West Side Story remake. But I'm kind of annoyed with this actress, and I'm like, I don't want to see anything she's in. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. And comments in here include, I'm rooting for the poison apple. And so this is why YouTube doesn't show the downvotes, but you can get a attachment to Google Chrome that will show you the downvotes again. But yeah, I'm honestly surprised. The biggest unexpected twist in this video, Disney was bold enough not to turn the comment section off. The idea of Gal Gadot being jealous of Rachel Zegler's appearance is hilarious. It's okay, Disney, you can just cancel the film. We won't be mad if you admit defeat. This is the comment section. Wow, Disney, you truly are incredible. It took you 3 years, multiple rewrites, unnecessary CGI, and $209 million just for me to enjoy a comment section of a movie I will never watch. Bless you. Because we did you know, a live action, we talk, you know, little people could have been cast as the dwarves. And given, you know, there's seven roles right there, and they probably would have played it. It'd have been fun. You know, some little actors would have been great. Then they, you know, they, for a while they had, oh, we got these other actors coming in and they're going to do it because what's his face had to run his mouth about stuff. I can't think of his name off the top of my head right now. But now we've got these full, really bad looking CGI dwarves. It got worse. It got worse. And here's someone else. The whole premise of Snow White is that she's the only one more beautiful than the Wicked Queen, who in their right mind decided Rachel Ziegler was better looking than Gal Gadot. Of course, once again, it's not a beauty thing. It is the fairest of them all, which fair being fair skinned, right? You've heard the phrase fair skinned before, right? That means you're kind of pale. The women were not supposed to be outside in the sun. You know, the noble women would not be outside in the sun. So they'd have this nice fair skin. Because the sun does do damage to your skin. I mean, you look at old cowboy movies and everything. You got some rough looking skin because the sun is rough on our skin. You know, that's just the truth of it. And so it was kind of a beauty thing to not be out in the sun and have the sun doing things to your skin. Okay. Anyways, let's move on to the next thing we found in the trailer park. Here's the movie we never asked for. Mufasa.
It's time I tell you a story. A story of a cub. Not much bigger than you.
So just to be clear, we're not in this story?
There's a lot of stories with all of us. Tell one of those.
Long before they became legends, Mufasa and the prince who would come to be known as Scar became brothers.
Hello, what's your name?
Mufasa.
I told you to wait for me.
We can't just leave him here.
Rules are rules, Tucker. The king will never accept a stray.
I'm not a stray. I'm just... lost.
We do not associate with outsiders. Tucker is the future king. We must protect the bloodline.
But, Dad, I saved his life.
I have a secret, Mufasa.
I always wanted a brother.
I always wanted a brother.
Sometimes I get a scent. It's barely a trace on the wind. And it smells like home. And then it's gone.
You and Tucker together, that is home. Now both of you go. Find your place in the circle of life.
The circle is broken. There will be one Lion King.
Mufasa, run!
We must fight together. If we fight, we die.
Just to be clear, I never signed up for this.
I'm here to protect you, my brother.
We're alive! I did it! I saved us!
You were saying?
Well, so there it is. I don't know who asked for this, but it's got 203,000 likes versus 61,000 dislikes. Let's read the description here. And this is not the first we've heard of this. Exploring the unlikely rise of the beloved king of the Pride Lands, Mufasa the Lion King enlists Rafiki to relay the legend of Mufasa to young lion cub Kiara, daughter of Simba and Nala, with Timon and Pumbaa lending their signature shtick. Told in flashbacks, the story introduces Mufasa as an orphan cub, lost and alone until he meets a sympathetic lion named Taka, the heir to the royal bloodline. The chance meeting sets in motion an expansive journey of extraordinary group of misfits searching for their destiny. Their bonds will be tested as they work together to evade a threatening and deadly foe. Now, Aaron Pierre is Mufasa. Sometimes he sounds like Chris Pine sometimes, the Mufasa. So I don't know if I'm really that big on some of the cast, although Mads Mikkelsen is somebody named Kiros, who's a formidable lion and big plans for his pride. Now, how things normally work, and... It still worked for the like original I mean, because they set it up on Lions for the original film. And this is a sequel, a prequel to the live action film that a lot of people complained about, that the facial animations were kind of stiff because they were trying to be more realistic with the animals. Although I did still kind of like it because it stuck pretty much to the story of the original film, which I'd still rather watch the original film. Thank you very much. So this, I think they try to add a little bit more animation to the eyes to try to get people's attention and try again. But this felt like very unnecessary. But anyway, so when you study up on lions, you know what a pride of lions is. You got the one male who has all mating rights to the females. The females will go hunt and the male will fight, you know, keep other males. I mean, if another male is there, it might be a brother to the one who's the head, but he doesn't have any mating rights. He's just there because he can't get his own prides, but he'll serve under that pride. But if a male lion comes across cubs that are not his own, he will kill them. I mean, that's how serious these prides are. And that was the idea behind a pride rock or the pride lands. This is his territory. This is his pride. And Scar, of course, would have no mating rights, you know. But, of course, the Lion King stuff, it's kind of fanciful. It's more fairy tale and it's not even grounded in any reality. I really got that settled in when they did that series where they were had the little group of animals that were like, we're the defenders of the realm or whatever. And they had a lion queen. And then it's like, do you not know how a pride of lions work? You don't have a queen. It's a pride of lions. She doesn't get mating rights to all the males. It doesn't work that way. So I was like, OK, I'm out. I know too much about nature and about how this works. I have a biologist wife to be able to get over the stupidity of that. So I'm looking at this. I'm like, OK, so you have. I mean, it would fit, you know, an adoptive son would come in and he could end up taking over and having the pride. If he wins the fight with the other male, he heads the pride. So that works. But the way they treat this, like, okay, this is a threat to the heir to the throne, you know, but I guess that's what we did in the original Lion King anyway. So I'm kind of mixed on this. Part of me wants to see what they did, but I'm also kind of like, meh, you know, I didn't ask for this movie. It looks like it might be good, but, you know, I really don't want to make up my mind, and I don't trust Disney. So maybe I've made up my mind just from that right there. Okay, something else that I thought maybe at one point we would have asked for, but Agatha all along.
Agatha.
Who's been messing up everything?
The Covenless Witch.
It's been Agatha all along.
No. What really happened to you?
Seekest thou the road to all that's foul and fair?
She took every little bit of power I had.
Gather sisters fire.
I'm assembling a coven.
Water,
we gotta get back on top.
Air.
I'm gonna walk the road. Join me.
Darkest hour, wake thy power.
The Witch's Road will give you the thing you want most, if you make it to the end.
The road is a death wish.
Heard you guys were having a party.
What's up?
Hey.
Shall we?
It will test us and our knowledge of the craft.
Against
our worst nightmares.
How do we pass this trial without any power?
We survive like witches have been doing for centuries.
What happens next?
I just need these witches to get me to the end.
The bodies are really piling up.
Why do you let them believe those things about you?
Because the truth is too awful.
I want my prize!
Time to finish the road.
Last one there is a nice person.
Okay, so we got a 2-episode premiere coming September 18th of Agatha All Along. Currently, this has 80,000 likes versus 21,000 dislikes on YouTube's channel Marvel Entertainment, the official release. I could take it or leave it at this. Really, I'm thinking to leave it. Look, it's a story of a bunch of witches. Okay, whoop-de-doo. I don't care. This is Agatha Harkness, who her only real claim to fame was I think she was like Franklin Reed's nanny. She's such a minor Marvel character that I kind of don't care. I mean, the actress was very entertaining in the WandaVision. With some of the casting school, I mean, seeing Aubrey Plaza in there might make it interesting. I don't know, but nothing about this really, you know, and I think Disney probably should have learned something with the Acolyte, that we don't want to see a bunch of witches doing a weird song chant. And apparently that weird song you're hearing is part of the movie, where, cause you see a clip where it matches up what Agatha is lipping, mouthing. So apparently that's what we're hearing, and it didn't work in The Acolyte. I don't know why they think it'll work now, but I guess they were filming it about the same time. So I just cannot get excited about that. Maybe at one point I would have been interested in that, maybe after watching WandaVision, but not really. Not really. I don't need another show about witches. I don't care. Oh, so here we go. Skeleton Crew, another Star Wars series.
Tomorrow's test will set the course of your entire future.
Don't you ever want to do anything exciting?
Like what?
What if we could go anywhere we want in the whole galaxy? A real adventure. No more pretend. I found something buried in the woods.
What do you think it is?
I think it's a lost Jedi temple. Hello?
Be careful where you step.
Dangerous out there in space. Trust no one.
You're a Jedi.
December 3rd on Disney Plus. Let me just tell you this, despite having Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni attached, because not everything they do is pure magic to me. Most of the time it is pretty good, but it's not always pure magic, you know, for Star Wars. The opening half of this teaser where we're meeting these children, it looks like Earth in the future. Suburbia. Literal suburbia. I mean, with all the houses that are kind of the same, and the green grass yards, little roads and driveways, the bus going down the street, going to a public school, it looks like suburbia. This doesn't fit in Star Wars to me. They lost me. And that's about all I got to say about that. This is everything that apparently they put out for D23 and showed. I'm glad I'm not there, because I would have been like, really? Really? I've become the biggest skeptic for anything they put out anymore. I swear. It's such a change for me from how I was just maybe even 4 or 5 years ago. Moana 2.
You wanted to come this time.
You were gone forever.
It was 3 days.
Where are we going?
Before Maui stole Tifiti's heart, our ancestors wanted to connect our island to all the people of the entire ocean. It's my job as a wayfinder to finish what they started.
Wanna show our people just how far we'll go.
This is
is a call from the ancestors.
Hidden in a terrible storm, it's an ancient island. Setting foot on its sands would break the curse, bring our people together again.
I know what I have to do. Maui, I could really use your help.
Can I get a chi-hoo?
You will be destroyed, and your wayfinder too.
Now I kind of miss the lava monster.
Ow! Ow!
What if you don't come back?
I'll be back. I promise.
Do I hear people?
Those aren't people. Cock'em.
Aura!
You guys, we got this. Bring it on, Coco. Nuts.
Okay, this is coming November 27th. Now, at one point, I have said that, you know, there's probably more that could be done with the concept of Moana with all the different mythology around the Polynesian area. You can have some fun with it and bring more characters in. But what did we get? I feel like it's the first movie again. When I look at this, I was like, okay, well, let's see what you got. But no, it's the first movie again. It's like, oh, look, we have a cursed island that's preventing us from going out into the seas further than to meet up with other people. Which kind of, isn't that what the first movie kind of had going on? You couldn't go out into the seas because of a cursed island. And so, okay. But she's going to go out by herself. And then, oh, look, she needs Maui's help to go. Huh? Isn't that what the first movie was? I'm disappointed. But I'm not surprised. Disney is really, I don't know. Ugh. Okay. Alrighty. Please tell me I have, let's see. Do I have another trailer of something that might be worth looking at? I have some stuff I haven't looked at yet. There is something I did look at. I didn't save on, but there's I haven't been watching the Paddington movies, but there is Paddington in Peru.
Thank you for using Photo Me.
Thank you for having me.
Please note that headwear is not permitted. Make sure your face is within the red circle.
Red circle?
Right.
Commencing photos in 3, 2, 1.
No, wait! Dear Aunt Lucy, I have very important news. We're coming to visit you. The Browns are coming to Peru.
Get ready, everyone! He's coming!
Oh, what a handsome boat.
Hola!
Smooth, strong, easy on the eye, and that's just the boat. Voila!
Aunt Lucy! Paddington, we're here! Aunt Lucy!
I'm afraid she set off on some sort of quest deep in the jungle, and we have no idea where she is.
Aunt Lucy found me when I was a cub. Now I have to find her.
But the Amazon is quite... large.
We have to try.
And I have faith that you will survive.
This will be fun. I can show you where I'm from.
Well, we wanted a holiday to remember.
Is it me, or is it getting a bit choppy?
I appear to be driving the boat!
Ah! Welcome to Peru.
November 8th. Now, unfortunately, a lot of this is a lot of visual gags that don't pay off from audio. But, you know, I haven't watched the other two movies. I probably should. We used to watch little Paddington cartoons when I was a little kid in school. And I thought, well, these are probably cute, but this one looks more fun than what I've saw from the other two. So I need to watch the other two so I can come and watch this. This actually got my interest because it just basically what you're hearing in the front is him trying to take his passport photo in a photo booth, and he doesn't understand how anything works. And when it tells him that he's not allowed any headwear, it's because he has a marmalade sandwich on his head. And if you're familiar with the character of Paddington Bear, he loves marmalade and marmalade sandwiches, kind of like how Winnie the Pooh likes honey. So look, this actually looks very cute and fun, and I would be interested probably to see this. But like I said, I need to watch the first two Paddington movies to kind of catch up. Although I am familiar with the characters and the Brown family, but mainly from the cartoon, and it might be a little different in the movies. I don't know. But that might actually be worth watching, and frankly, I enjoyed that trailer more than I did anything Disney's put out. Isn't that terrible? But here's something, a title reveal for Wildwood, something from, by I don't know, I think you say it was Laika. These are the people who brought you Paranorman. I still haven't seen that one, but also Kubo and the Three Strings, or is it Two Strings? Just some amazing movies that they've done, some stop motion animation. So this is a new one from them. I have not watched this yet, so we're going to experience this for the first time together, unless you've already watched it.
There are places in the world that people were never meant to go.
Hello?
Dark forests where the trees hide darker secrets. When the first settlers came here, they called these woods the Impassable Wilderness. It was a warning to keep away.
Coming soon. Don't know when. Let's see if there's anything in their description. This is from the official Laika Studios YouTube channel. The Impassable Wilderness beckons. At Laika, our films are born in imagination, shaped into stories, and crafted by passionate artists who give life to unforgettable characters. Founded in 2005 and located just outside Portland, Oregon, Laika's five films were all nominated for Oscars and PGA Awards for Outstanding Animated Film. And I've seen most of them. Coraline is good. Coraline, I think the book was better. Frequently is, although they were able to expand a somewhat short book into a long movie. But it's, I forgot the writer of Coraline. He's a prolific comic book writer. He wrote a lot of different things, and now I cannot think of his name, but I did enjoy the book. I think I understood the book better than the movie, but just the imaginative things that Laika does with stop motion animation and Paranorman, which I still need to watch one of these days. I don't know why I haven't seen that one. And then Kubo and the Two Strings. Just amazing what they're doing with stop motion. Just fantastic. Everything looks great. And so I don't know what this is about, but I'm interested just because I really like their work. It's nice now that after all the Disney stuff that I was frowning through, and I carried y'all through it. I'm sorry we had to go through that. But it's nice to have something now that I'm actually saying, hey, this looks like it might be good. And with that, let's take a quick commercial break. We'll come right back with Mr. Daniel Benedict.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
And now back to He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
All right, so we are welcoming back Daniel Benedict. My goodness, you've got a long list of credits and everything. Writer, producer, director, head guy of Red Serial Films, have right now over 1 million views from 8 years ago when Fall of Grayskull. And we had you on the first time talking about that. We had you on another time, but I don't remember what we had when we were talking about the second time. It's been a very long time.
It has. I can't remember.
My goodness. But now you've become a director. You made your own horror film with Red Serial Films. That was been just a couple years ago, The Bloody Man.
Yes.
Which I haven't seen because I'm not the quite the horror film guy that you are. The weird thing is I'll play Resident Evil till the cows come home, but I don't do like modern horror movies because usually they kind of gross me out. So and I was kind of wondering, like, The Bloody Man, if I'm somebody who doesn't like gross out horror where, you know, bloody carcasses and body parts flying everywhere, would I still enjoy The Bloody Man?
Yeah, it's less. I mean, there's some blood and I have some gooey parts, I guess, but like it's mostly like a throwback VHS rental kind of like kids horror movie from the 80s. So like
Monster Squad.
I mean not as awesome, but yeah. So I think you might enjoy it.
All right. Well, I have to go take a look at it because I was kind of cautious after seeing Fall of Grayskull because I remember talking about it, you know, that you were a big horror fan. I had no idea some of the levels of violence you went through in the original Fall of Grayskull kind of surprised me. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, we did some. Yeah. The melting face. Yeah. Like in this sequel, it'll be way toned down. Like it won't be near as gruesome.
Which was probably a good idea because it was kind of a shock to the system, but it was a flipping awesome fan film. And it took you forever to do. I think you were talking about your background text trying to be like the interior of Castle Grayskull took a long time to get it to look right and believable. And yeah. Editing is hard enough, but when you're trying to put the effects in and working with green screen. Oh, yeah, that's tough.
Man, I wish I had the time to go back and re-edit that entire movie and make it better. I feel like I could make it better now, but which is why I want to do this sequel to like rectify, you know, that and make one like that's really good and epic and everything that you would want from start to finish from a Motu movie.
Which you made a trailer already that people can check out, which I am so sad for you that you had to sell your entire Masters of the Universe Classics collection to fund it, but worth it.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's, you know, I could always like, I guess, buy more toys. But like, you know, like, but now this thing, this trailer at least exists. So like, you know, that'll always be out there. There's no shortage of toys at our house. So, you know, don't feel too sorry for me, you know, unless that gets you to donate, then yes, please feel sorry.
Well, at least it shows your commitment and passion for the project when you're willing to do that and sacrifice something that means that much to you. It's like the film means more being able to tell these stories.
Oh, yeah.
And diving in with bringing She-Ra in and your actress. Oh, my gosh. She looks like she's cloned out of the cartoon. Amazing.
Thanks. Yeah, I think so. I think she makes a really good Adora and She-Ra. And I can't wait to make that a reality, you know, if we get funded, because mm-hmm. you only see in the trailer, you only see She-Ra kind of like in shadow.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to like, I don't want to like give everything away, but like, B, like, I want to make sure that like She-Ra looks like the most epic definitive version, live action version of She-Ra that she can be. So like, and I need money to do that. So,
right.
Yeah.
And so you have a Kickstarter out there that people can go and help fund this with a lot of cool bonuses, actually, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, fallofgrayskull.com forwards you to the Kickstarter. And we're hoping to raise $250,000, which, you know, I knew going in is a lofty goal, but it's really the only way to do it right. Mm-hmm. You know, like literally like half of that goes toward fees and taxes and rewards and packing and shipping and stuff like that. So like, it's really not that crazy to need that much to make, you know, a 2-hour, an hour and a half, 2-hour like epic fantasy movie and make it good.
Yeah. And you're planning to film on location from the look of things.
Yeah. As much as possible. You know, I mean, of course, will be a few times where you need some green screen, but I want to build sets. I want to, you know, use everything in the real world, live action, live places. It just makes it feel real.
Yeah.
You know,
And you might even be doing a better job than the a movie that's going to be streaming only so far. And there's a Masters Universe. I can't remember if it was Apple or Amazon is actually and they even announced a casting for Teela yesterday, which they seem to have an issue against redheads or something. I don't know.
I don't know if I'm not saying that ours will be better in any way, but we definitely are going to strive to keep it, you know, keep the source material, keep the traditional, you know, look and feel of the characters and the everything, like what people want and expect. You know, I took a lot of liberties in the last one. You know, I was, you know, trying to make it a little something different, but I don't want to do that this time.
It was interesting though, because you had almost like a what if, like the worst thing could have happened, and that's you had a comic book, I remember, that kind of gave all the story building up to it, and then beginning of Fall of the Grayskull, you've had, you know, everything is at its worst, and yet you're like, oh my gosh, what's gonna happen? And I don't want to spoil everything for anyone who hasn't watched it yet and everything, but it's like this, the worst is happening on Eternia. What could happen next where He-Man could somehow still be victorious in this? And so this is a follow up where it's like, OK, we've done something with Skeletor. So now you're bringing in Hordak, which is exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, that's the next logical step. And, you know, I want this, you know, I wanted to bring She-Ra into this. So like that whole world of, you know, the Princess of Power and stuff and Secret of the Sword type of a story. And yeah, Hordak. I've always thought Hordak was just the coolest, even cooler than Skeletor. Sorry, anybody that is going to comment bad things to me after saying that.
Well, you can justify that because Skeletor wouldn't be Skeletor without Hordak.
That's right.
See, those of you that know the lore know that Hordak taught him and saved his life. So there we go. And that's one of the things I've always preferred Hordak. To me, Hordak is the Horde Prime. And I never liked the series where there was somebody over Hordak's head. I was like, no, Hordak is the man. Okay. And everything. So, he was always awesome. And I don't know that She-Ra would have done that as well without having Hordak as her villain and getting to borrow that really from the Master Universe line. That really kind of made a difference because, you know, if you get the collection book that has all the little mini comics, you read the mini comics of She-Ra and it was kind of boring until like they really refined it and, you know, brought it in with Filmation and brought Hordak for a major villain and gave her the entire backstory. That really put She-Ra on the map to me to work. Because my sister had the She-Ra dolls and I thought, well, this is supposed to be like related to He-Man somehow. What is this? But yeah, the Filmation gave a really great start. So if you're kind of keeping the ideas of what's been presented when we were kids, I think that you're going to actually probably will make it a fantastic fan film. You just probably won't have near the let's say the release that a big studio is going to have, but you're going to have more heart in it. And I'm probably going to enjoy yours better, honestly, just because the love and passion will go into it.
Well, I mean, that would be awesome. Not trying to outdo anything, just trying to do our own thing. Just a fun fan film, to just have fun with these characters. Basically it's just art. It's fan art. And, it's, you know, it's our medium that we like to use. It's fun and just to bring these stories to life. So I'm excited.
Yep.
Even though I said it in a very like monotone, like I'm excited.
You're just tired.
I'm excited. I'm just exhausted.
Well, you keep very, very busy though anymore. And being a father and filmmaker and everything and making ads, you just came back from filming. Actually, we were just talking about that. You had to hustle to your office. I completely understand that because we do a similar type of work. And except for I think you work a lot harder at it than I do because you've done some really cool ads for even Masters Universe mobile games that were really cool. Cool. So,
yeah, that was fun. Mm-hmm. I got to officially, unofficially, you know, like be a influencer video guy on some things. That was great. That was really fun. Anything like He-Man related or She-Ra related, like I'm there. Like,
oh yeah. And for people wanting to look at some of your work, if you look up Daniel Benedict on YouTube, and you have a lot of fun videos where you'll even go through and eat cereal that's maybe been sitting in the box longer than you should have left.
Yeah, we just posted a Masters of the Universe old food video where some of the actors from the film Fall of Grayskull eat let's see, there's cereal and toothpaste and some bubble gum. The gum was is like 40 years old. So, yeah.
That, you have a brave cast willing to do that. I've only seen one other person do something like that. Tim Nidell. Well, it used to be Saturday Morning Rewind. He actually did that where he was eating old cereals, but then he got out what was supposed to have been an old Happy Meal. And then he pulled out the hamburger and ate it. What it was, though, he had a new hamburger put in there. He just wanted to gross everybody out thinking he pulled out the old hamburger. But yeah, it had like the old toys and everything. But that's kind of just fun getting back to the old stuff. There's a lot of cereal boxes I wish I still had from when I was a kid. Yeah. And a lot of cereals that I kind of vaguely remember the taste. But like you can't find the Smurfberry cereal anymore.
Oh, man, that's the one. That's what I want. Smurfberry Crunch or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. Like that was my favorite as a kid, and like I want it so bad. So yeah, anybody out there has that, please let me buy it from you so I can eat it in front of a camera.
And hopefully it still tastes good.
It won't. It
probably won't. I'm just trying to lock it in my head because I don't remember the taste as much, but I feel like the Oops All Berries Captain Crunch might be pretty close. In my head, I'm going with that.
Yeah, there's been a few things over the years where I've eaten something and I'm like, hey, that kind of tastes like Smurf berries a little bit. You know, like I can't think of what they are, but yeah, that flavor and then Great Blue Dini Kool-Aid. Like,
oh, my goodness. Man,
like, yeah. Good stuff.
Oh, yeah. All the good stuff has gone away. But sometimes we get it back. We did for a while get the Ecto Cooler back, but you couldn't find it in stores. It was like exclusive. But I remember when I seen that coming back, it's like, I don't think I ever drank the Ecto Coolers. We didn't buy a lot of Hi-C. I was getting all the knockoff generic stuff when I was a kid. I grew up poor, man. We got a name brand cereal and it was a treat. We were like, woo. So, yeah, having a character cereal was like, usually it was over when we were visiting somebody. I think it's when I mainly had Smurf berries and those were awesome. I think it was over at an aunt and uncle. I think they had Smurf berries because they were all about watching Smurfs every Saturday morning when we'd be there. It's like the first thing they'd come, they'd turn that TV on. And we were watching Smurfs. So, but they got me into it too. So
that's the life. I'm trying to get my kids into it. I bought like these DVD sets from Australia that are like the full series. I couldn't find the full series in the US here. So I found it there. Different intro, which bummed me out, but like, I'm trying to like force it down my kids. They're like, come on, Smurfs, look at this. It's Saturday morning. What are we going to do? And they're like, nah. Yeah, but
yeah, I'm kind of hoping that the MeTV tunes will have Smurfs on it. I can barely pick it up with my antenna around over here. But YouTube does have an official Smurfs channel and you can watch some Smurfs episodes.
Nice.
So, your kids would probably like it. I figure a lot of stuff we enjoyed as kids, our kids would probably enjoy too. So,
oh yeah, absolutely.
That's what I'm figuring. And if they ended up not liking He-Man, I don't know what you would have done.
Yeah. Luckily they do. Luckily. Yeah. maybe they aren't as quite obsessed as I am, but they like it.
Which is good. Cause otherwise you'd have been like, are you even my children? So, and I know it's hard to bring somebody else in the family kicking along and screaming along when you have like an obsession. I'm going to briefly show you like my Aerith collection, which has cost me quite a bit. My wife completely doesn't understand Final Fantasy VII. But yes, I understand. So it's nice when you have a fandom that you can get somebody in the family that can get involved with you. And especially it's got to be fun with your kids to go shopping for Origins figures and seeing, you know, getting them to play. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is like when I was a kid and now my kids get to play with these things. So
yep,
that's got to be awesome because I don't have any children to do this. So I just have to be a big kid myself.
Hey, yeah, whatever works, like yep. Whatever we can do to help relive parts of our childhood. Those are special.
Yeah. And I think that's got to be one of the benefits of being a father is you get to kind of relive it and play with your kids and be this awesome dad to them. So
second chance. Well, I try. I feel like I fail constantly every day, but I try.
Yeah. But see, that's what makes you, I think, a good father is that you're trying and you're when you feel like you're failing, it's probably because you're not. Because you care enough about it that you don't want to fail, then you care enough. And I'm sure your kids recognize that. So
hopefully.
And I'm trying not to just blow smoke up you. I'm just seriously. I mean, if you if you feel like you fail all the time, it's probably because you aren't. It's because you care enough to feel like you could fail. Then you're caring enough to where your kids feel that love. You don't have to be a perfect dad. You just have to be there, you know, and love. That's my opinion anyway.
Yeah, that's a good philosophy.
Did you manage to get your Too Bad?
Too Bad.
Yes.
I got one. and haven't opened it yet. I'm saving it for maybe like a birthday or Christmas for the guys, for the kids.
I'm keeping mine in the box. The box is too cool that I'm like, okay, I think they're just going to stay in here.
Yeah, this packaging for some of the figures is so awesome. You know, I hate it, but like, you know, now that I've had, you know, we have three boys and I don't know, like, I feel like it's worth more to me and to them to like play with it. Like, yeah. I am a guy that like, I hate to like destroy good packaging, but you know,
yeah, that's why you get an X-Acto knife and you cut around the plastic, you lift, you kind of take it out and then you keep the package. Some of the nice things about, you know, the Aerith collection I have over here is they were all in nice boxes, but I was like, okay, I was able to open the box, slide out the figure, take out what I want because I wanted to make the display. And then I keep the boxes in the back. I mean, even I've kept the container for one that they never released these in the States, but Japan actually were released from the original game, the original figures. And I actually have I kept the package and I hang it on the wall, even though I took the figure out and I've got it over here. I completely understand.
Nice.
But anyways, we probably better wrap. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm looking at all the figures you have on the wall behind you. I love all that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm still working on filling that wall out. I've got a plan for that empty spot, the 40th anniversary Ninja Turtle figures. As soon as I see those, I've got to get those. But right now, I'm saving my money for, I'm trying to get some new lapel mics for a new podcast we're going to work on where we're going to watch movies with a lapel mic on so we can talk about the movie as we watch it, which we tried already with Batman a few episodes ago. So plus, my friend realizes there's a lot of movies I haven't watched. And he's going to make me sit and watch them. And he thinks I'm going to be fun to react stuff like Old Yeller, which I told him I don't want to watch because they kill the dog. He says, but no, but it's a good ending. And I was like, oh, they kill the dog. So, it'll be a while before I afford to put more toys on the walls because, you know, buying your equipment, as you understand, it takes some saving.
It's ridiculous how much stuff costs.
Yep. And which is why you need help on getting this Kickstarter. Once again, follow grayskull.com. See how I signed that way together.
That was a good wrap around there.
Yeah. I've been doing this 11 years. You'd think I know what I'm doing, I guess. Follow grayskull.com. Help Daniel fund this movie because I really want to see it. And he's got a lot of really, really cool things, bonuses, even like soundtracks. And I figured the comic book, I remember seeing the comic book. It's probably the same artist that did your Follow Grayskull one before, which was really cool. Yes. Lots of really cool merch that you can get on lots of different levels. Even if you can't do like a huge amount, just doing something. Let's help Daniel make this because it's going to be awesome.
Let's do it. Please.
The power is yours. That's a completely different wrong. Okay. You have the power, though.
The power is yours.
But we'll take it back because it's He-Man's power. I'll take it back from Captain Planet. Okay. I didn't like Captain Planet anyway. I know. I'm going to hit and get hate mail.
I was a sucker for pretty much anything on TV. I loved almost everything. Like if it was a cartoon or something aimed at kids, I pretty much watched it.
Yeah, that's kind of the way we were. I think by that point I was getting a little older and I just wanted to watch Spider-Man and X-Men. And about that time, those were like the stuff when I was a teenager. Like I had to keep watching those. That and Batman, the animated series, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Had to. But anyway, so once again, followgrayskull.com. Help Daniel make this movie. Go pick yourself. And if you haven't watched Follow Grayskull, look for Daniel Benedict. I'll even spell it in the show notes for you because Benedict is one of them. You can really mess it up. And I know because I don't spell that great anymore. The older I get, the less I can spell straight. So I'll make sure there's links in the show notes. Go check out his YouTube channel because he's got a lot of fun stuff. And if you haven't seen the original Fall of Grayskull, go watch it. Just be warned, if you've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, think of that because it's going to happen. And it'll catch you off guard if you're not expecting it. But I think like the second time I watched it, I was like, OK, well, I knew it was coming. I was like, yeah, that's kind of just tote. It's not as bad as you think. It's just you don't expect it. But it's a really actually pretty cool story. And especially if you're a Teela fan, Teela gets to do some awesome things in this, too. And you've got a really good He-Man, this professional wrestler. I forgot his name, Matt something.
Brian Cage.
Brian Cage. Why was I thinking Matt? I don't know. And is he wrestling with AEW now? Did I hear?
Yeah, Brian does. Yes.
Awesome. So all you AEW fans, go check out your He-Man. Because, I mean, he's got the physique for it. Holy snot. I mean, good Lord. That guy's huge. I mean, he looks like He-Man.
Totally. He is He-Man. He is.
Awesome.
Period.
Well, thanks for coming on the show again this week. And hopefully, like I said, follow grayskull.com. Like he says, go and donate. Yes. Go for it. You'll get a lot of great swag for it. It's totally worth it.
Thank you.
Okay, and with that, let's wrap up the show by reminding you to go to neverlandpodcast.com. You'll find links there for Podgagement, Daniel J. Lewis's own company, where if you happen to have a podcast, you want to see what your reviews are like, which I may have some reviews coming like, how come you don't like Disney anymore? It's like, well, I love Walt Disney. I love Mickey Mouse, but what they're doing here lately has not been piquing my interest, and I'm out. I didn't leave Disney. They left me, as Ronald Reagan used to say about the Democrat Party. I believe it was him that said it, that because he was a former Democrat, and he said, I didn't leave them. They left me. Anyways, that was actually part of something I was watching this week with that upcoming Reagan movie, which comes on out the 30th. And I'm still interested in seeing that with Dennis Quaid. That looks good. Anyway, we're talking about our advertisers and coming to the website, Podgagement. Make sure you click on that link as well and check it out. NeverlandPodcast.com. We have a lot of thank yous, of course, for Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Show. They helped me make that nice intro. Don't forget, you can email us, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. I'm still in the process of cleaning out everything and blocking all the spam and advertisers that email address gets to where I can actually see if one of y'all email me. We do have a Twitter or X page, Neverland PCast. We're on Facebook. Join the group. I recommend the group over the regular page because we get to have more fun with the group, and it's easier for me to share things that I find on Facebook to the group. And I've been finding a lot of fun stuff about old movies from the 80s and whatnot, and old TV shows from that we grew up watching, even if it was old and black and white, like Andy Griffith. You know, if we watched it when we were kids, you know, I'm sharing some stuff, fun things about it. So it's really fun to kind of share stuff on the group. So come join the Facebook group for Neverland Podcast. You might be able to still find it under the Fandom Nexus, though. I need to update my links I have here on my notes page because I think it's under the Fandom Nexus now. And you can, of course, join the Neverlanders on the Neverland Podcast webpage. You can become a Lost Boy or Pixie. Why Pixie? Because girls are too clever and they don't get lost. Don't forget, also, you can donate through the Patreon page, patreon.com, Neverland Podcast. There you can get ad-free shows other than the ads that I read live on the air. That's just part of the show. But you won't have those annoying ads at the beginning and middle of the show that come from being part of Red Circle, because I have to pay for this show. But even if you just want to stick with Red Circle, you can get an exclusive membership. You'll find the links right there in your show notes on how to become an exclusive member with Red Circle. And it all helps to pay for this show and new gear that I'm trying to buy to have even more shows. Yes, we are working on a show where Philip and I are going to go and talk over movies. We think y'all are going to have fun with us. He also wants me to watch movies I ain't never seen before. So I want lapel mics to be able to attach to myself that we can talk without having my RE20 right here in my face. Although the lapel mics don't sound quite as good. They're omnidirectional instead of unidirectional. So they're getting the entire room and not very focused like this one is on me, where I sound this good. So it'll be a little different, but it's going to be fun. So hopefully by the end of the week, though, I will be able to order those microphones. But we'll see how things go. But make sure you come back next time. We've got more fun to come, and hopefully, if I'm not having to cover a bunch of D23 and stuff, that's just like should be exciting. It just doesn't do it for me anymore. We'll have more fun. And I hope you enjoyed Daniel Benedict. And thanks again, Daniel, for coming on the show. Make sure you go to followgrayskull.com and see what you can do to be a part of that project. But until next time, get lost in an adventure.